Amen. I want you to pray this morning especially that what I feel I need to communicate cannot be communicated with understanding. It's got to be like a revelation down in here. And I'm just, what a week we've had as a country, a province. Canada has had its eyes open, I believe. I don't know if you watch Jay Sekulow. He's on WDCX at 12 o'clock every day, Monday to Friday. But he has his own television program on Daystar. He was on last night. And he was promoting a book that they put together called The Rise of ISIS, and tracing it back to all the way back to the Ottoman Empire. And the man, I kept saying, who are the brains behind ISIS? Who's running this thing? It just all of a sudden came out of the sands of Arabia, and all of a sudden it's there, a major army. And it's in there. I want to get a copy of it and read it myself. But he's encouraging people to read it and get an idea and get it out to your friends what we're really dealing with. Then on Friday afternoon, I was watching James Robeson, and he was reminding us of the plight of thousands of little girls, sometimes little boys too, but little girls, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, stolen from their villages, mainly in Cambodia and in Thailand. And one little girl was sharing her testimony through many tears. Her mother sold her to what she thought was a relative so that she could feed the rest of her children. Her relative took her instead of looking after her, sold her in a brothel. And there she had to service 8 to 10 men every night in order to have food and water. And if she didn't do that, she would be, if she did it with the wrong attitude, she'd be beaten. She said, and some girls who just would not submit were actually taken upriver and they never came back. And this, just the tears of the reality of the pain that is in our world. It's just like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? As evangelicals, I think most evangelical churches would agree with this. We believe in a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful. All-powerful. With God, all things are possible. We believe in a God who is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. You believe that?
Yes.
We don't have to invite him to come. He's here. He came with us.
Right.
We believe in God who is omniscient, from the word science. He knows everything.
Right.
He knows everything. He knew about those little girls. He knew about those little girls.
Yeah.
I've been asking lately, Lord, are you really all of this? And if you are, and you are aware of the hurt and the pain, and you are a compassionate God that we sang about this morning, but why don't you do something about it? I don't know if I told this story. I think I told it on a Wednesday night. I was watching 2020 a few years ago, and they were interviewing a man who worked for Air Canada. And flew one of the flights, I think once or twice a month, they went into Cambodia. Maybe more than that, anyhow. He was one of the chief stewards in one of the flights. And when they got there, they stayed in a very well-secured compound overnight sometimes before they flew back. One day, because of cancellation of flights, he had to spend more than one day there. He got bored in the compound and decided to take a walk. He went for a walk down the little pathway and came into a little village. This is his story as I remember it. And he said, and he saw the poverty. He saw the hunger. He saw the starving children. And he went back and it became such a burden on his heart. He decided that he would see what food was in the compound, what they would throw away, or were getting ready for the next flight. Like a lot of food, if you flow in Air Canada, you know, they feed you well in those long flights. And so anyhow, make a long story short, he said it developed into he didn't use the word ministry, but he used the word a program by which he himself got other people to help him. And every time there was extra food on any of the planes coming into Cambodia to that airport, he would take it to the village. And it became such a big, I call it, ministry, that he eventually gave up his job and did it full time, bringing food to the the hungry. And the end of the program, the interviewer said to him, How has this changed you? How has it changed you? And he thought for a while and he said, well, in this area especially, he said, I used to believe in God. But when I saw those starving children, if there is a God who knows everything and is everywhere and is all powerful, I don't know if I can believe in him, because why didn't he do something about the children? And I shouted at him. I remember shouting at him, you went, didn't you? You heard the call, you responded, didn't you? You did something. But it reacted. Hopefully he's changed his mind by now. That he was a messenger of God's grace. And that leads me to this question about authority. And where is God? When we have a need, we pray the way we believe we should pray. We speak faith the way we are taught to speak faith. And yet the answer is not there. At least not in our understanding. Does God answer prayer in a way that we don't understand him? Right now, I think you're a lot of, right now, I'm hearing a lot of theology going on in your mind. But timing of God. The timing of God to me has been a mystery. Do you know that you can be in God's will, but out of his timing, and be out of his will? And probably very frustrated. You say, Pastor, I hope you get out of this thing you're leading us into this morning, because, but I'm here. I love Rabbi Zacharias, Dr. Rabbi. We hear him every morning at 9 o'clock, 15 minutes before we get here, 10 minutes, whatever time. Let my people think. We've got to understand some of these things with some reasoning. If not, there's frustration. There's frustration. A lot of times we throw promises out. We do that because that's our job, to put the word out there. But the Bible says, this word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Understanding it. An application. How does it work? So you see why I say I need some help this morning. I need you to pray and say, Lord, help him. He's going to need some help if he goes down that path. I'm going down the path of what is authority. And who has it? What is authority? And who has it? And if you hear anything else that I hear this morning, I'm going to cap it again at the end of the message. Behold, I give you authority. Who said that? Jesus said that. He said it to his disciples. Did he say it to us? You're sure on that? Behold, I give you authority. Did he have it to give? How did he get it in order to give? Well, let's turn first of all to Matthew. Matthew 28. This is after the resurrection. He meets with the 11 disciples, verse 16 says. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. It's amazing, isn't it? After the resurrection, they saw him, but some still doubted. And here's what Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And in earth. Go ye therefore. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. I think that's a mandate. That's a commissioning to take that same authority, right? And then in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The disciples were talking about the 70 that were sent out. And they came back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, behold, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It's interesting where he put it. If you don't read it in context, why would he say that? Because he's referring to authority loss and authority gained. He said, I saw that. I was there. So don't try to impress me with what you're seeing. Then he said, behold, I give unto you authority. The old King James uses the word power, but the Greek is exousia, authority, power. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis, the power of the enemy. I give unto you. I want you to hear that in your heart this morning. Jesus said, I give unto you. My question is, okay, Lord, if you've given it to, you gave it to them, did you give it to us? Did you give it to the church? Did you give it to only certain spiritual people within the church? Like, who? Where is this authority now and who has it? The question I want to ask at the end of this, you click it for me there, is that Wendy back there? Are God's hands tied? I remember over the years, I've thrown this out to Bible studies and small groups and stuff like that, and if I give no preparation for it, the answer is no. God's, how can mere mortal man tie the hands of God? How can we tie God's hands? Well, I've got a scripture. Let's go to it. Found in Psalm 78. Every now and then the psalmist, David or one of the others, would sing about the history of the Jewish people. And coming out of Egypt and going through the wilderness was one of the great themes. And this time here it says, and they, the children of Israel, frustrated God in the wilderness. They turned back and tested God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Does your Bible say that? Because that's what mine says. It says they limited the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. I was trying to think of the name of the movie. Hollywood has picked up. Just bring up the next thing, Wendy. The thing called the will of God. The will of humankind. The free will. Some of you can help me. It was one of those movies where Jim Carrey was playing this God, man who was God for a week or something. Bruce Almighty. Remember there was an Evan Almighty, but there was a Bruce Almighty. And Morris Freeman was God. And he let Bruce be God for, was it a week or a day or something? And Bruce was just, it was very well done, really. If you take it from a mocking thing, it was mocking God. But if you, it had some truth in it. And Jim Carrey came to the point where he just said, he said, you mean we let them do what they want to do? And God said, yeah. And he said, isn't that free will? And God said, that's what it's all about. That's caused the problem all through the years, this whole business of free will. Do we have free will or not? That's the question, really. But when God gave man free will, here's the next point I want to make. Get this in your heart. God had created a being in whose affairs he had voluntarily limited himself. You get that? The angels had the ability to choose. They chose. One third of them chose. But they were never given the right to do that. Mankind was given the ability called volition, choice, but they were given the right to. If you do it my way, here's what you'll have. If you don't do it my way, it's going to be a problem. There's going to be a problem. So we come to that word, responsibility. Responsibility was given to Adam and Eve, given to humankind. It means the ability to respond. They were given that ability to respond and then be responsible for their response. Go with me to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, please. I know I've shared this in the time that I've been with you, because it's there. This is where it all began. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I do not understand what that means. I do not understand that. Does God look like us? Or do we look like him? The Bible tells me that God is a spirit. No man hath seen God at any time. So he made us in our image, in his image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion. And he lists over all the earth. The word dominion is the right to dominate, the right to rule, the right to have authority. Right? Are we okay on that? He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have the right authority over the earth. But he also said, the day that you eat of this fruit, this one thing, you will surely die. Again, I don't understand that. I believe it's far more complicated, but God put it in a package where we can understand a tree with fruit on it that we're not supposed to touch. Not supposed to eat. You have everything. God says you have everything. But this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're not going to go into that doctrine today. But that you must stay away from. They chose not. They chose to disobey. And when they chose to disobey, the dominion of the world traded hands. The right authority. Adam and Eve lost that authority. Again, I don't understand. I don't think in this lifetime we will, with this mind, these up mind, understand what happened to humankind when they said we're not doing it God's way, we're doing it our way. Something was lost. Something was lost. And God allows it to play out when he comes down to the cool of the evening to fell. He said, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Adam was hiding. He says, I heard your voice in the garden, but I was afraid, for I was naked. So I went and hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? Like, Adam, what have you lost? I don't know what he lost. The image of God, the likeness of God. I don't know what he lost, but he lost something. Mankind lost something in that moment. How long that took, what period of time, I don't know. We don't know. There are things that God has chosen not to reveal the detail of. But I just want to read to you a few of those scripture verses that I've got there. Here they are. Here they are. I know I'm not going to have time to turn to all of them, so I have them written out here. Ephesians 2:2, Paul, the apostle. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. The apostle Paul called him the prince of the power of the air. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God, small g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Apostle Paul in Revelation about the church, in the book of Ephesians, called the devil the god of this world. John 12:31, Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He called him the prince of this world. John 16:11, because the prince of this world is judged. Twice, maybe other times, Jesus referred to the enemy, the devil, as the prince of this world. Then in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. When Adam sinned, something happened. Now look at this in Luke chapter 4. This is called the temptation of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. 40 days and 40 nights he went without food. And the devil came to test him. Well, I believe he tempted him. The Bible says God cannot be tempted. Why was Jesus tempted? Because he was not God when he went into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness as man representing us. He was 100% man and 100% God. He went into that wilderness as man. He was tempted by the enemy. And the final temptation was when he took him up to a high place. The devil, verse 5, taking him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority, and I'm reading from the King James, that's what it says here, all this authority will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will fall down and worship me, I will give you. Really, he didn't use the word back, but I will give you this authority. Of course, Jesus resisted that temptation. We know that, thank God. So the question is this. Was that true? Who's speaking here? The father of lies. Right? His way of doing things, you'll see it all through Scripture. He'll take a truth and he'll throw a lie in there. And this causes confusion. He deceives the whole world. And the truth was this. It was not delivered to him. But when Adam sinned, he gave up that right of authority and the enemy usurped it. Do I understand that? No. But it seems to be that's what happened. He usurped it. Jesus never challenged him on it. He said, I'll. You want the authority? Of course, he knew what would have happened. We had to see that. That had to be in Scripture for us to understand. That there's an authority that was given to the enemy. The enemy, not given to him, that was made available, and the devil usurped that authority and caused havoc on this earth. And it took 4,000 years, according to my understanding, maybe longer, for something to happen for that authority to be taken back. Are you with me here? I'm going to say something, put something up there, and I put it up there respectfully. That's the next slide, Wendy. I say this respectfully, and I say God cannot, and I put a question mark because I don't want to be anybody who says God can't do something. You hear me? I don't want to ever take that risk of saying God can't. But as far as I can see, God cannot interfere in the affairs of mankind but by an invitation from mankind because he gave it to us. That's how he set it up. In Ezekiel 22, 28 to 30, I've studied this scripture over the years. It says, God speaking, he says, I sought for a man. I sought for an intercessor to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for this country, for these people. And I studied these people. I said, what were they doing? They were just, read it yourself in Ezekiel 28. There wasn't any major sin of idol worship. It was just the way they were treating the people, their own people and strangers. And he said, I have to judge them. My righteousness, I have to judge them. But if one person, if I can find one person who will stand in the gap, be a Moses. Remember how Moses, that one person stood in the gap for 603,600-something thousand people. The whole nation of Israel, Moses interceded. And God was saying, give me somebody who would intercede. So that I do not have to pour my judgment on these people. But I found none. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation upon them. He wouldn't have. The other one that I look at and I say, Lord, how does this work in Luke chapter 10? Jesus was challenging his people. He said, go out and get ready. Prepare the villages where I'm going to come and preach them. Then He said to the 70 and to the disciples, he said, lift up your eyes and look. Look at the fields. He was referring to fields of wheat and fields of barley. He said, they're ripe, what we would see today as we drive into the country. They're ripe unto harvest. They're ripe. Then he says this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Many times I've read that and they said, Lord, you're the Lord of the harvest. And if you see the harvest, why don't you just send forth the laborers? Apparently there's some kind of limitation there. We need people who will pray for laborers in the harvest. Today, how do we need laborers in the harvest? In light of what is happening, how do we need godly people today? Lord, would you raise up godly men and women, young people of all ages, with the anointing of God on their hearts and a passion to go out into the harvest field. But he said, I couldn't do it until somebody prayed for it. Martin Luther, after studying this for a long time, he came to this conclusion. He says, God can do nothing among us but in response to prayer. You may find little loopholes in that, and that wasn't Jesus saying it, that was Martin Luther. But he'd caught the essence of the authority in the world today. This is how James said it in the book of James. He said, you have not because you're not asking. Now my problem is this, okay, as I stand before you this morning, I'm asking. Some of the things I'm asking for are not happening. So do I get mad at God? Do I get mad at the promises? Do I lose faith in His Word? Or do I say, Lord, can you kind of give us an understanding of where we're at and what is happening and what the problem is? I look this morning and I see some potential miracles. I see people who need a touch from God. We need a miracle in your life. And you've been praying, you've been believing, standing on the Word and confessing the Word. So, Lord, where is the answer? Well, Jesus responded by saying, pray ye therefore. Pray ye therefore. The Lord of the harvest. I have a picture here. This is not the exact house, but it looks just like the house. 1989, August 1989, we came from Calgary. We moved to Simcoe, and we didn't want to just buy a house from Calgary, so we asked the board if they would find us a little country house, and they found us something very, very similar to this. And you can't see it, but it had, what's that called? Not cookie.
Gingerbread
thing. Thank you. Are you thinking of food already, Tom? Gingerbread. Gingerbreading all over the front porch, and we'd get up some mornings and look outside, and there'd be four or five artists with their easel, and they were actually painting the gingerbreading on our old house. It was an old home. It was on 10 acres of land, and that 10 acres they cut it for us. That we never had. I didn't have to cut that, thank you. And then on that 10 acres was on 100 acres where the big manor house was, and the family lived there. The landlady that we dealt with, and so we rented it for a year, signed a lease. Beautiful old place. She owned 100 acres with several other homes. She owned the 10 acres and she owned that house. When we signed the lease, she lost some rights. In fact, the well went dry after 3 days and they had to come and drill another well. And she said, called me up, she says, we'll need to get into your house. Do I have your permission? This is like a parable. It doesn't answer all. You know, when Jesus told the parable, he made a point. Not every little part of it fit in the parable. And this doesn't fit every way, but it fits hopefully with the understanding that we have been given the responsibility to run this world. He's released that authority. The enemy came in there, usurped it. God realized he had to pay a big price to get it back. And he did. Thank God he did. And even though, the next one please, the world per se belongs to God, the world system had been usurped by Satan. And Jesus came to break the dominion of Satan. He did break it, and he will put a stop to it very soon, totally. But meanwhile, there's a struggle going on. And the biggest struggle is this. The church does not realize that the authority has been given to us. We don't. We've got to come to the place where we understand it and we believe it. And we exercise it. When Jesus said, it is finished, so many different things came to an end. There have been a lot of sermons preached on those three words. The power of the law, the sacrifices, so many things. Paul deals with this in Galatians quite a bit. But let's look at this for now. That authority that the enemy usurped when it was made available is finished. That authority that the devil has right to is finished. You know how he operates now? Because some of you may be saying, well, he sure seems still to have a lot of influence. He does it by deceit. He's the great deceiver. And when we get the understanding of the power that we have and the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, I give you authority over the power of the enemy. He says, I give it to you. If we can come to grips with this, it is finished. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. You know, if Jesus appeared here this morning and stood before us, I think he may just, of all the things he may talk to us about, I think he just may say something like that to us. All authority has been given to me, heaven and earth. Go ye there. I give it to you. I give it to you. So let's sum it up in this one slide, if I can. Adam started out with authority. Amen? Mankind. I just wish we knew how long Adam lived in that environment. There's so many things I wish. When I see Adam, I'm going to punch him out. Like I don't know. I mean, think of what we could have. Well, maybe I won't. Maybe I can't punch him in heaven. I don't know if we can punch him. Sorry, I take that back. I'll just slap him a rung a bit. So Adam had that authority. He sinned and Satan usurped it. Don't believe what Satan said. He said it was delivered unto him. It wasn't delivered unto him. He usurped it. Jesus bought it back with his blood at a tremendous price. A tremendous price at that authority. And then he gave it back to the church. Behold, I give you authority. Saints, we must believe this. Amen. It is so it's so imperative that we believe this. We must believe it. And the next slide says this. If, big word, two letters, but a big word. If the Church of Jesus Christ would awaken to this glorious truth, the asking we would do, the praying we would do, the interceding we would do, the prayer meetings we would attend. Hello. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man with the revelation and the authority can avail much, James said. But Jesus also said, if two or three gather in my name, I'm there. I'm there. I'm there to pray. There's a church that we attended, not this time, but before. Downtown Brooklyn. Pastor Jim Cimbala. Brooklyn Tabernacle, where the famous choir comes from. And he said this, we may have 6,000-7,000. We were there one Sunday morning and it was powerful. He said, we may have 5,000-7,000 on a Sunday morning. He said, but our most important meeting of the week is Tuesday night. He says, and you better come early if you want a place to stand. He said, we don't sit on Wednesday night, we stand. And we don't sing, we don't get entertained. We cry out to God for this nation. Praise God. You know, with something like that happening in the city of New York, something's got to happen in the city of New York. And I believe it's happening. And again, where I have such faith for the future. I know some terrible things are building up. And this ISIS thing is a very, very serious thing. But a number of years ago, 1 million men, American men, and their sons, marched to Washington, D.C., stood before Almighty God in their nation's capital and asked God to forgive them, forgive their sins, and to visit their nation once again. Do you know that we have regular prayer meetings, intercessory meetings in Ottawa? And I'm going to, this is just my opinion, that could have gone down a whole lot differently if those prayer meetings had not been happening. I believe that God was protecting the people. Because it could have turned out pretty bad. God has a blessing for His church in these last days. He needs us. He needs us to be powerful. He needs us to know who we are. He needs us to walk with the anointing. And we need to be able to cry out and say, Lord, may Your will be done on this earth. You know, when the disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, He didn't give us a little prayer to pray out. He laid out an outline for us. He said, when you pray, follow this outline. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Well, we did that this morning when we came in. What beautiful songs, what beautiful praise, worship. We hallowed His name. Then He says, and then say, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'd like to see a movement. Maybe I have to start it, I don't know. Where every person who believes in Jesus Christ, every morning when they get up, they say, Father, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done in Canada as You have purposed it in heaven. Thy will be done. We do that on Wednesday nights. When we come to this, we go through the Lord's Prayer, and we come to this part, and we say, Thy will be done in Canada. Thy will be done in Ontario. Thy will be done in this community. Thy will be done in our homes and families. Thy will be done in our children and our grandchildren. Thy will be done in our finances. Thy will be done in our businesses. We call out because we have the authority to do that. And Jesus said to do it. You know, the Lord's Prayer is not an Old Testament prayer. It's a living prayer. It's an outline for us to follow. Thank God that Pastor Ralph had this revelation and just we walk through this on a Wednesday night. We walk through it and we pray it through and we believe it and we stand upon it. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tried my best yesterday to find... It was a cartoon. Well done. It was well done. You know how people send you things? We've got this. They send you. You guys get stuff on your Facebook? Like, I have one friend that just sends about 7 videos every day. There was one that she sent yesterday with a crocodile. A guy in a big pool with 2 big crocodiles. He's tickling them under the chin and patting them on the head. And then he's pulling meat out of a pack that he had. He's up to his neck. Like. He's throwing this red meat for the crocs. And they're... Then he asks for a marshmallow. And he takes the marshmallow and puts it in his mouth and goes like this. This huge crocodile comes across. I mean, if he opened his mouth, it would be bigger than the man's head. He opens his mouth just enough and picks the marshmallow right out of the man's mouth. And I heard people in the thing, he's crazy. You better believe he's crazy. Why did I tell you that? Oh, all these videos that people are sending. There was one that really struck me, and I thought I had saved it. I went looking for it last night. I couldn't find it. But Jesus is sitting on a park bench, and this young man comes along, and not too young, early 20s maybe, and he says, oh, Jesus, there you are. I've been looking for you. I've been wanting to ask you, are you aware of what's going on? When are you going to do something about it? And Jesus says, well, I'm glad you asked because I'm wondering, when are you going to do something about it? I think that's what he's asking the church. I really believe it. It's been given to us. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come and sing the last one that we sang. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because he is the one who given us that authority. Amen. He is the one who procured it for us on Calvary. He is our anointer. Amen. He anoints. He said he would pray the Father. And the Father would send another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. He is with you. He will be in you. If I've come to any conclusion over the last number of weeks is this. And I've been crying it out to God in a what would I say, a raw form. That's how it feels down in here, just raw. No religion, no platitudes, nothing. Not trying to impress God, because it's just simply grace that says, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. Before we sing, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, please. Would you just bow in prayer? Father, we need your help. We need your help. It's a great time, saints, if you would just say that to him this morning. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I can't do it without your power. I can't do it without your anointing. I need to understand my authority, Lord. I need to know who I am in Christ Jesus. While our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, I mean something between you and God through Jesus Christ. If you are not sure that if you die today, you would go to heaven. The Bible says you can know that. You can have a witness in your spirit that if you die today, you go to heaven. I'm going to ask you this question. If you are not sure, would you like to be sure? If you're not sure, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'd like to know before the service is over. I would like to know, as I turn my eyes upon Jesus, I would like to know that I'm saved, that I'm born again, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is there anyone? Is there anybody else looking around? Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? I'm looking out over the congregation. Is there anyone? I'd be so honored to pray for you and with you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I know you prayed that prayer before, Pastor. I know where your heart is, but I'm going to pray for you. When do we say yes? Whenever we feel the need to say yes. So thank you. I will pray for you. Anyone else? Just before we close with this beautiful song. Anyone else? Guaranteeing your relationship, putting your name in the book of life forever and forever, knowing that he loves you, he will never forsake you. Anyone else? Father, I thank you for this time together. I pray that this truth would be illumine into our hearts and minds of who we are in Christ Jesus and what that authority means. And we have a right to speak. We have a right to pray. We have a right to intercede. And Lord, for this person this morning who raised their hand, I just pray that you would put a peace of God beyond their understanding. Because I know that this sister, Lord, has prayed this prayer before. I just want to confirm it in her heart this morning, to know that she knows that she knows that she's born again by the Spirit of God. Circumstances will come against us, but we have this confidence. We know whose we are. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Come on, saints. I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Let's sing it before we're dismissed this morning. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. And come and have fellowship with us in the coffee house and cafe after.